Somewhere in my head, a switch closes, and I remember something that gives me a flash of hope. The knife. A few days after the fire, I remember Andy showing up at my window and giving me my knife. "I saved it," he said with a grin. If Andy died in the fire, how could he have returned my knife to me? I know where it is, in one of the old cigar boxes I used to store train parts. I start opening boxes, and on the third one, I find it. But instead of seeing a bright red plastic handle and 17 shiny tools, I find a blackened, frozen, twisted metal mess. It's the knife. But this knife has been through a Holocaust. A bleak and depressing memory drudges into my head. I remember climbing through the ruins of the Tuttle place weeks after the fire. I remember kicking through the charred remains of the house, my shoes and jeans black with soot, and then finding the blackened, melted corpse of the knife. He never came out. Andy is dead. Nothing is important. No thing. I reach out my hand. My fingers curl around a section of bridge. I'm King Kong. Godzilla. Galactus. I squeeze. I hear the crackle of matchsticks. Pain passes. I'm sitting on the concrete floor, and I can smell the sour, tangy reek of resinous pine, the smell of matchsticks, the smell of phosphorus, the smell you get just before a fire. I sit there with the smell, and a brain as thick and fibrous as a wet, wadded woolen sweater. I remember some things. I remember Andy's parents putting their house up for sale. And then George Fuller moved in. But Andy never left. Andy died, but he didn't. I know this should upset me, but I just sit there on the cold floor and let my mind go dead. Eventually, my mother's voice reaches me. It's time for dinner. That thing we do every night. That thing where you push digestible matter into your mouth hole. I can do that. I climb to my feet. The bridge. Something has attacked the bridge. Interesting. The bridge has taken serious damage to its eastern approach ramp. I wonder whether anyone will bother to repair it.